name is Vern Collins. I'm one of the pastors here on staff at Boone United Methodist Church, and I'm really privileged to be able to open the Word this morning. Do want to go ahead and let you know, as Ben said, this is our healing service, and it's a service of worship that we do every the Sunday after Easter every year for the reasons that Ben just named for us. That while the way has been made for us to be forgiven, for us to be made whole, while we have this promise that the final enemy, death, has been defeated, and while we are invited to walk in that victory and to walk as if our eternity is now and not something that we have just punched our ticket for later, the reality is that we live in a world that is very much suffering under the weight of sin and the brokenness that comes as a result of that. And so in light of the hope of Easter, in light of the hope of the resurrection, in light of the hope of an empty tomb and a cross that stands empty, a reminder for us of the way that Jesus has taken our shame and made a spectacle of that which was meant for suffering and invites us into life. In light of that, we are invited this morning, and you are invited as the Lord leads you, if you would like to come and to receive prayer for healing. Because one of the things that we believe about the kingdom is that there will come a day, as we read about in Revelation 21, there will come a day in which all sickness is done away with. All mourning. There will be no more mourning or crying or pain. There will be no more death, for the old order of things has been done away with. And he who is seated on the throne, Jesus says, is making all things new. He is the beginning and the end, and he is the one who walks with us and invites us and carries us to that point when that happens. But the reality is that we know we walk in the face of suffering and brokenness and pain and sickness and loss right now on this earth. And yet that is not God's intention for his people. That is not God's intention for the kingdom. That is not how God established the order of things when it was all created. We took this really good, beautiful gift that God has given us, and as one of my seminary professors said, we poked a hole in it and allowed all of the chaos and all of the darkness and all of the brokenness to come rushing in. And so we walk under the effect of that now. But what we do so believing and trusting that the way that God intends for things to be is that we would know wholeness and healing. And we humbly ask and seek for God to make that a reality now, but we trust that there will be a final healing one day. So with all that said, there will be an opportunity for you to come to receive anointing. You'll have the sign of the cross made on you with oil, and you'll hear the words, "May you experience complete healing of mind, body, and spirit in the name of Jesus Christ." But then if you would like further prayer, if you have some specific things that you'd like prayer for, then know that we will join you in that, and there'll be opportunity for you to pray. And I'll probably give those instructions again, but I just want to prepare you and let you know that that's kind of where we're going to go this morning. But before we do that, we have to hear the invitation. We have to understand the significance of the invitation that Jesus makes. And I think in light of that, we have to bear in mind that it is invitation season, right? We, in our family alone, have, and my wife and I are going to need some, I think, counseling as a result of this. But we have an eighth grade promotion. So our last one to come through Hardin Park. And I was just telling our college students this morning, like, the last day that I take my youngest, Brinley, to school, the last day that she is DJing, you know, and choosing our music, and she's a fantastic first thing in the morning DJ. The last day that we do that, like, I'm going to leave that place just wrecked. Because for like 14 or 15 years, I've gotten 17 years, excuse me. Mom knows. I've gotten to do that. So that's going to happen. Then we will have a high school graduation or a college graduation. Actually, that's going to happen first. College graduation, eighth grade promotion, high school graduation, all of those things happening within like weeks of each other. So if we just weep before, like if we just cry at the drop of a hat when you come up and say hello to us, that's why. That's why that's happening. So graduation season, invitations are going out. In my own graduation, I didn't send invitations out because there were some,
was touch and go. There's some question as to whether or not I would graduate. Got it done, though. Borrowed a cap and gown from somebody else. Didn't order one because, again, I wasn't sure. I didn't want to waste money. But invitations will go out. A number of you are graduating, and we'll have the opportunity to celebrate our seniors, our both high school a little bit later, but then college sooner, our seniors who are going to graduate and go on to incredible things that the Lord's calling them to. And but then it's also wedding season, right? I mean, all time of year is wedding season, but like particularly as we get into this time of year. And so I want you to think about in your life, like, what is your favorite invitation that you have received? Maybe it's a birthday invitation. Maybe it was an invitation to a wedding. Maybe it was just a word of mouth like invitation. Hey, I want you to come and be a part of this thing. But think about your favorite invitation that you have ever received in your life. And then what kind of RSVP-er are you? Not a word, but how do you handle RSVPs? I think to this day, my favorite invitations to receive are wedding invitations, because 90% of the time, I'm getting that invitation because I've been asked to officiate that wedding. I've gotten to officiate a number of like y'all's weddings in here, and it's one of my favorite things to do. So that those just continue to be. It's a humbling thing to be asked to be a part of that. Now, I'm terrible at RSVPing to those. I assume that you know that if you've asked me to officiate, you know I'm coming to your wedding. Even though, like, and I will die on this joke. Like, it is, you know, Abram and Heather were like, hey, how many days? 97 days. And I was like, 97 days till what? And I'm like, oh, y'all are getting married? I know they're getting married because I get to officiate that wedding. It's up there with dad jokes. But I'm awful at RSVPing. If it's a wedding that both of us have been invited to, then usually my wife is the one who RSVP, because I'm terrible at it. I'll just, full confession, like, I don't do a good job of RSVPing, or I will in my head say, can't wait for that, that's going to be awesome, I'm going, but I tell no one other than myself. I just know I'm planning on being there. I don't let anybody know. And then there's another small issue, I'm just letting you behind the curtain of how we operate a little bit as a family. How many of you have a calendar on your phone? How many of you have a calendar on your phone that you use? Right. It's amazing. I can put something in the calendar, and then I don't have to think about it again until it reminds me that that thing is happening. It's fantastic. My wife, on the other hand, even though I have created a shared family calendar and a shared work calendar, because, you know, why not? Both of those, she gets a notification about. Both of those pop up on her phone. My wife, however, on our calendar, on the corner of our kitchen counter, which is her office, there's a paper calendar. That's where stuff goes. I don't know what's on that calendar. I don't know if there are things on that calendar that I need to know about or that I need to be a part of. But she will die on that hill. It is paper calendar until the day that they stop making paper. And so sometimes we miss some things. And she will say it's my fault because I didn't look at the paper calendar. I'm like, if you just put it in the phone, then we would both know about it, both of us. But as you think about invitations, what kind of RSVP-er are you? Are you like in your head, yeah, I'm definitely there? Are you like, I cannot wait to, you know, click the button on the Evite and say, yes, I'm coming? And then on top of that, you're a person that's also going to add a comment because you want them to know how excited you are that you're coming to that thing. Or you're a maybe because you don't want to commit too soon. Because what if something else comes along? Don't be a maybe. Just say yes or no, right? I think that's biblical. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. Don't be a maybe. I think Paul was talking about, or James was talking about invitations there. He wasn't. But as you receive an invitation, what happens there? What do you do with that? Yes, I can't wait to come and be a part of that. No, I'm sorry, I can't come. I can't believe that I've been asked. I can't believe that I've been invited to be a part of this thing. This morning, we are given perhaps one of the most beautiful and life-changing invitations by Jesus. next to the invitation to coming to the point where we say yes to life with him and yes to all that he offers, it really begins at this point, this invitation that we hear Jesus make in Matthew's gospel. Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse 28. If you would, in honor of the reading of God's word, if you're able, stand, if not just in the posture of your heart, we want to honor the word of God. Jesus says these words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Abram, should we see what Eugene Peterson has to say about it?
Yes.
100% yes. From the Message, Eugene Peterson. "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So as we consider this invitation, as we consider our own need for healing, one of the things that has to happen first is that we come to terms with that need. We come to terms with the fact that we need something beyond ourselves, or that we need something that we can't do on our own, or that we need someone outside of help. Outside of self, excuse me. And we hear in Jesus' invitation here, and we'll talk about the context of this in just a moment and why this matters, but the very first thing that I want you to hear in this is the way that Jesus makes this invitation and who this invitation is for. One of the things that we remember about Jesus, the author of Hebrews says this, is that he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, or the same yesterday, today, and forever. Which means that for us, this is an invitation that is ongoing. It wasn't just for those to whom Jesus was speaking in this moment, but this is an invitation that is ongoing until the day that Christ returns and establishes his kingdom here on this earth forever. Until that day comes, the invitation stands. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. All who are weary and burdened. Now, what we tend to do, and what this world and the enemy as a result, or the world as a result of the work of the enemy, convinces us and wants to convince us of, and what we too easily buy into, is that we are on our own. The enemy wants nothing more than to isolate you and to make you think that the thing that you are carrying, that there are two things that are true because of that. That the thing that you are carrying, whether it is a sickness, whether it is fear, whether it is doubt, whether it is financial struggle, whether it is relationship struggle, like any of the things in our lives that we feel like are a burden, a weakness, some sort of actual sickness, some sort of brokenness, that because of that, we are either forgotten by God, not noticed by God, unloved by God, or we've done something in our lives to deserve our current state. And because of that, like God, we are far from God, or God is far from us. That's one of the things that the enemy wants us to believe about ourselves. The second thing is that people around us don't want in on that. They've got their own stuff that they're dealing with, and so we can't We can't possibly burden somebody else with the thing that we are carrying. Or that thing just makes us unlovable and unlovely, and people don't really want, they don't want to see it. And so we have perfected the ability to hide that which is burdening us and which is infirming us. Whether it is actual sickness that we might be dealing with, or whether it is some sort of brokenness in our lives and relationship or whatever it may be. We kind of live in this place or wrestle with this tension of hearing this invitation from Jesus, and yet we live in a world that's like, nah, you better do it on your own. Nobody really wants, they don't want to see that. People will think less of you if you're honest about what you're struggling with, or honest about what you're carrying, or honest about like your fear over, you know, a diagnosis that you've had, whatever it may be. Or I've been, you know, praying this prayer and I've been seeking God for this thing, but he's not answering the way that I want. And so then we're kind of, you know, filled with doubt. And because of that doubt, we feel like, well, I can't really share this with people who seem to be people of faith, because then how will they receive and how will they handle my doubt? And do you see how we begin to get caught in this kind of loop and this place where the enemy has us right where he wants us? And that is, hey, you're on your own. You're alone. You're isolated. You can't do it. Best not take that to anybody. One of the things that the enemy sought to do, even in Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, was to isolate him from the Father. Isolate him from the way of the Father. Isolate him from the will of the Father. And Jesus is, you'd have none of it. Praise God for that. Because he shows us another way. So this invitation that Jesus makes, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Dane Ortlund, in his book, Gentle and Lowly, we have some copies of it back there. He says this, and this is important for all of us to hear. He says, you don't need to unburden or collect yourself and then come to Jesus. Your very burden is what qualifies you to come. You don't need to unburden or collect yourself, put yourself together, and then come to Jesus. Your very burden is what qualifies you to come. The other thing that we see in this invitation that Jesus makes, all you who are weary and heavy laden or weary and burdened, is that he is not afraid of our weakness. He is not afraid of that which burdens us. He is not afraid of our fear, our doubt, our brokenness, our sickness, our worry, our lack of faith, our frustration, our anger, all of the things that come as a result of the fact that we are carrying things in us that we were never meant to carry and are a result of the sin and brokenness in this world. And Jesus making the invitation, we know that Jesus is not afraid of these things. In fact, the number of times in the Gospels that we see that where the rest of society would say to someone, we can't be around you because you are unclean, and if we were to be around you, that makes us unclean, and we don't want to catch what you have. Those are the very people that Jesus goes toward. The lepers who are to stand on or live on the outside of society, and anytime they are around other people, they are to yell out and call out, unclean, unclean, so that people can keep their distance. Jesus draws near to them. The woman who touched him, the woman who had been subject to bleeding, who touched the hem of his garment and thought, if I can just get near enough to touch the hem of his garment, then I can maybe, just maybe, I will be made whole. This was after 12 years of being subject to bleeding, 12 years of suffering, 12 years of spending her money, and 12 years of giving everything that she had in hopes of someone being able to heal her, and she was left destitute and just thought, if I could just draw near. And Jesus, Mark records, he felt the power go out of him. He was on his way to heal someone else, to heal the daughter of Jairus, and yet takes the time in this moment to stop and to address this woman.
Her weakness, her brokenness compelled him to stop, to lean in. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, who, to our knowledge, wasn't dealing with some physical ailment, but was dealing with spiritual ailment, emotional ailment, relationship ailment, like all of these things. And the reason that she was at the well in the middle of the day is because she knew no one else would be there. Well, guess who she had an appointment with that she didn't know until she got there? Jesus, because Jesus knew there was an appointment that had to be made. He draws near to the broken. He draws near to the sick. He draws near to the wounded. He draws near to the destitute. So if you have ever thought, I can't possibly go before the Lord with this thing, or I can't go before the Lord with this thing again because I've already done that once or twice or 20 times, the very invitation that Jesus makes tells us that it is our brokenness and our hurt that qualifies us to come. Not because we've got things put together in a way that he's like, yeah, I guess I got a few minutes for you. No. It's our brokenness that qualifies us to come. And so Jesus calls all who are weary and heavy laden. And while this isn't a passage specifically about like physical healing, what we hear in this and what we have to come to terms with is the way that our suffering puts us in relation to God and in relation to other people, which we just spoke about. So the invitation to Jesus is, hey, whatever burden you're carrying, if you are burdened, come. Because I want to offer you rest, as Eugene Peterson says it. I want to offer you real rest. Real rest. And it's not like necessarily a ceasing from activity, although some of you, it would be good to practice that. Some of us, I'll include myself in that, practice Sabbath rest. But the type of rest that Jesus is talking about is a rest from the turmoil that exists within us because of our brokenness and because of our infirmity, because of the state of life that we tend to walk around and the limp that we tend to carry. So to hear the invitation to come and hear the invitation to real rest, and then to hear what Jesus is offering, hey, my yoke, take my yoke upon you. There are a couple of ways for us to understand that, and this is where the context is important. So John the Baptist, who's in prison, has sent word to Jesus, and perhaps John is asking some questions about, like, what have I given my life to? And so he sends word and says, hey, go and ask Jesus if he is the one that we have been waiting for. Like, I just want to make sure I'm not off base here. I want to make sure that, the work that I was doing to pave the way for this guy, that he's the guy, right? He is him. And Jesus, you know, says, hey, yeah, report to John, tell him, you know, these things. Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. So go tell John, yeah, these are the things that have been happening. I am the guy, like I am him. You have served faithfully, John. But then Jesus goes on to kind of call down judgment on a couple of places that he's gone, in which he has, he's served, he's healed, he's done these things, and it's not enough. Like they don't want enough, or they want more, but they want more of those things and not more of what Jesus ultimately comes to offer. And so, the people find themselves burdened because what is happening is that the religious leaders continue to discount the work that Jesus is doing. And so they are carrying this weight of like, I mean, you can't measure up, you can't live up, like you're following the charlatan, he's doing all these things. Those aren't the things that you should be after. And yet Jesus continually uses these signs and symbols of his grace and his power and the love of the Father so that we might know something about the kingdom of God. And might know in this invitation that there's a place for us in it. And so this invitation that he is making to these people, these are people that are carrying an incredibly heavy weight. I'm not enough. I don't measure up. I'm not good enough. My sin, my brokenness, my sickness puts me at odds with God and with everyone else. And Jesus says, hey, my yoke, take that upon you rather than the yoke that you've been carrying, the yoke of your suffering. And what's modeled there and what we see is a coming alongside. Because in that time, a stronger or weaker oxen would have been paired with a stronger one so that the weaker one can learn how to do the work and how to walk. And the weaker one, I mean, the stronger one is going to do much of the heavy lifting and much of the work there at first. So Jesus is saying, hey, I am strong enough. I am sufficient enough. Come and take my yoke upon you and work with me, walk with me. Let me be the one who bears the burden and bears the weight. And then some scholars also believe that it is a way of Jesus saying, because rabbis, it was believed that their way of understanding scripture and their teaching was called their yoke. And so Jesus is saying, hey, what I am offering you is freedom. It's not the burden of not being able to measure up, not the burden of thinking that you don't have a place here because of whatever your infirmity or your ailment or your weakness is. No, take my yoke upon you and learn the way to walk in the way of freedom. And so the invitation stands for us to come and to find rest. And what we believe, because we were not intended to live in the brokenness that is this world, this was not God's design for it, is that God longs for us to be made whole. He longs for there to be healing. And so we boldly ask. Jesus tells us we pray and ask for God to bring healing. And so if that's a desire of yours, we will offer that prayer alongside you and on your behalf, trusting that the one to whom we are praying is able, that he can bring wholeness. And we've seen that in this place. We've seen God bring healing physically. We've seen God bring healing in relationship. We've also watched as God has tarried and as people continue to carry the thing that perhaps they are carrying. And we trust even in that God is good and that God is faithful and that one day those prayers will be answered in Jesus' name. And perhaps the way that God would choose to answer that prayer is in inviting someone home, in which every prayer that has been prayed is yes and amen in Jesus, and they know wholeness in ways that we could never imagine. But just know that our heart and our hope for you, based on the words of Jesus, is that you know and can step into the rest that comes in unburdening yourself and inviting others into whatever you are carrying. And so we'll have three stations. There'll be two folks here, two on this side, and then one in the middle. And you're invited if you want. Again, this is simply as the Lord leads you. You're invited if you want to come forward and to receive anointing and prayer for healing. And if it's just the anointing and you just long to hear the words, may you know healing in mind, body, and spirit in Jesus' name, that's beautiful. But if there are some things specifically that you would like to be prayed for, something that you're specifically asking for, whether for yourself or on behalf of someone, know that we would be honored to pray with you in that. And we'd be privileged to. You're also welcome. The altar is always open. You're also welcome to go or to, you know, before one of our prayer trees, you can go and spend some time in prayer with the Lord or just where you are. And you don't have to come forward, but know that the invitation stands and that you get to hear these words of Jesus. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Whatever is the source of your weariness, whatever the burden is that you are carrying, know that the invitation stands to come, to seek God's healing in that, and to trust that in Jesus you have someone who is not afraid of your weakness and not afraid of the thing that the enemy has convinced you that nobody wants anything to do with. Jesus says, no, I do. That's why I came. Luke tells us, Jesus' words, I didn't come for the healthy. I came for the sick. I came to bring healing and to bring wholeness. So we trust that the Holy Spirit is going to move in the way that God needs to, but know that you're invited to come. So I'll pray and invite those who are going to help to come forward. Our worship team will play, and then when they feel like it's time, we'll close this segment and then go to our final song together. So would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, You did not leave us to our own devices. You did not leave us to suffer the effects of sin and brokenness in this world on our own. Father, because of your love for us, you sent your Son Jesus. That he came to take on flesh. That as Isaiah says, he'd be a man of suffering, well acquainted with our suffering and our weakness. As the author of Hebrews says, that in Jesus we have a great high priest who knows our weakness, who is tempted in every way and yet was without sin. He knew hunger. He knew pain. He knew loss. And we see in him that your heart is for the broken. Your heart is for the burdened. We know that your intention is not for us to live in brokenness and infirmity and sickness. And yet it's the reality of the world in which we draw breath until the day that Christ returns. But you call us to come before you. And so we humbly want to do that this morning. Hearing the invitation, come all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So God, by your Spirit, would you just move in the way that you would have us to respond, the way that you would have us to come, and the way that you would have us to pray this morning. We thank you for time and the space. We thank you for your church. This is one of the ways that we are unique from the rest of the world, that we are able to come and come before you in this way alongside one another to hear the words. May you experience healing in mind, body, and spirit in Jesus' name, to offer up whatever it is that we are carrying. We love you. We give you this time in the name of Jesus. Amen.